Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show. So, do you want to hear the behind-the-scenes story of what really happened when Taylor Swift's drop broke the internet and how it sparked a movement to reinvent how launches are done? Or what about the time a sneaker release melted down in minutes? And all of the fans revolted. Well, today you're going to hear all about it. I've got Michael Dodsworth with us today. So he is the founder and CEO of Fanfare. He has spent 2 decades helping brands and artists navigate high-stake product launches and events, often witnessing the agony of midnight meltdowns, crash servers, and bot-infested queues firsthand. My stomach is turning at the thought. Frustrated by these reoccurring nightmares, he founded Fanfare to tackle the problem from both sides, delivering fairness and transparency to fans and giving brands powerful tools to turn hype into lasting loyalty. So he speaks from the trenches, building tools for the chaos, not just commenting from the sidelines. He's here to help to dig into hype, loyalty, and what it really takes to earn fans in a world where attention is scarce and second chances are, well, even rarer than that. So I'm going to introduce him to you guys. Before I do, I want to thank Spreaker and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. And to our fans, listeners, please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. It's really nice to meet you, Michael.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for having me. I
Yeah,
as
of
you're going through
course.
the intro there, I can't help nod at my own intro.
Yeah, I was seeing you in my peripheral and I was like, right on, he's enjoying this. I'm doing him justice.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so where are you coming in from?
So the accent doesn't give me away. I'm actually in LA right now. So I've, from
Oh.
my various places that I've been over the last few years, found my way on these shores. So came through San Francisco and found myself in LA. And I think this is the perfect place to be building a company around hype and live events. We have a lot of both. So excited to be here.
Amazing. So let's talk about Taylor Swift. What really broke the internet when she dropped her product, or what was it she dropped? I don't even know. Tell us. Tell
No.
us.
It was actually a pre-sale with Taylor Swift. She also broke Shopify as well, but that was a lesser
Oh,
known
with her
event. She
Eras
actually
tour. Yes. Okay.
absolutely. And this happens every time there's a highly coveted event, whether it's Oasis trying to relive my childhood, teenage years, trying to get tickets for anything. We all go through that same painful process, right? We've all been there. 9 a.m. on a Monday morning, multiple tabs open, friends on the phone, everyone just open trying to get their tickets. And then painful things happen usually. So people are at best in a queue for multiple hours. They're glued to their screen. They can't go away just in case they get through. In this case with Taylor Swift, the ticketing platform of choice fell over and people were left not knowing whether they lost their place in line. They, spent hours invested in this and nothing. And then that frustration of going over to secondary sites and seeing those tickets already available, seeing those products already available, a huge markup, and feeling like I've wasted my time. This is incredibly painful. Like I'm a huge fan of Taylor Swift, Oasis, The Switch 2. And I'm left out in the cold with these painful processes that I'm going through. And I spent some time, my previous company was a live events ticketing company called Rival. We were eventually scooped up by Ticketmaster at the start of the pandemic, but we were solving for exactly this problem. What happens if you're ticketing SoFi Stadium and you have 5 million Swifties show up all at the same time, all with multiple tabs open? And the truth is, from a vendor's perspective, it's incredibly hard. So, as much as we want to complain about Ticketmaster, I certainly have my complaints about Ticketmaster. Like, it's an incredibly difficult thing to manage. And you see, even people who deal with this fairly constantly, like Ticketmaster, like all of the large retail stores like Best Buy, they fall over. They just can't deal with that kind of demand. So really, Fanfare was set up to try and avoid some of those gnarly, nasty consumer experiences. try and reward people's time and effort that they put into these things. And on the vendor side, just allow people to run these things, to launch products in a way that isn't just a huge firefight, which is the brands we talk to. Every time they launch something, it's a painful event. It's a painful event.
Wow. So, like, what lessons did you learn from those events that kind of brought fanfare to life?
I mean, the pain for sure is a universal. Everyone's been through those experiences and felt that.
Yeah.
I think trying to address it from the vendor's perspective and trying to understand, like, how do you deal with all of these people showing up all at once? Like, what kind of things are people doing to try and work around the system? Bots, bad actors, scalpers, and those kind of characters. What are they really doing to try and get access to these things early? And in a way that isn't, you know, what you would expect from an event like this. So I think it was spending some time on the vendor side, but really it just came from that constant frustration. Like anytime something goes on sale like this, I know what's going to happen. We all know what's going to happen. Like the Switch 2
Yeah.
is going to come out and it's going to be pain. It's going to be people waiting around at midnight for Best Buy to fall over and then Walmart to fall over and for a painful checkout experience. So that's really the learnings through Rival in particular that came to me wanting to solve this problem.
I can totally relate to what you said about sitting there on my laptop with my finger on buy. Like 9:59, and it's 10, the sale goes on at 10 a.m. And as soon as it hits 10, I hit that button. And then it's like, oh, you have timed out, or this has happened. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, that's, I can feel the angst in my body just talking about that. Oh my God.
Yeah, and I
So
think this is
crazy.
a really great model. There was a Dr. Squatch example in the last few weeks where they did a promotion and it was Sydney Sweeney's bath water mixed with soap was what they were
What?
selling. That's
Oh my God.
the correct answer. What? So they promoted this. They had Sydney Sweeney doing the tours and talking about this stuff. It went on sale. Enormous amount of FOMO, immediate, their site fell over and they sold out within seconds. And then those soaps were going for £2,000 on eBay. So
What?
they created an enormous excitement around something, but they fell over and they went, it came with those problems. But it's a really good model to bring people in to your brand, to have some halo product that attracts people to the brand. And I think now more than ever, the use of influencers, the use of social media, these are people who have an audience, can bring a lot of FOMO and hype to these types of events. And, people are finding products more and more on social media and engaging with brands more on social media. So we think it's a great model for brands to go after. Maybe bathwater isn't your thing, but maybe you can find the thing that is, and create something great. But without good tooling, you're going to cause that frustration. And any positive energy that you created beforehand quickly goes out of the window when people feel like the process isn't fair.
Yeah, they give up immediately. So let's talk then about how are most brands missing out on the gold mine of the hit data hidden in product drops, and what can they do differently to turn that into long-term loyalty?
Yeah, I think these types of events, they're deliberately scarce. The product is deliberately scarce. So a good example, I think, is the Jordan 1 on sale that Nike had a couple of years ago, Travis Scott launch, where they had over 3 million people show up for that launch. And they had 50,000 pairs of sneakers. So enormous number of people who show up who aren't successful at getting through. And that's really important information. Like you can reach those people. Maybe they were unsuccessful. Maybe they try three or four times to get those sneakers and they fail. Maybe you want to reach out to them to pull them into an exclusive drop. Maybe you want to move them forward in line. Maybe you want to reward them in some way for the time and effort they spent with the brand. Right now, people just that information just drops on the floor. People only learn about the 50,000 people who are successful. So I think there's a huge opportunity to reach people in that moment. Like you have an audience who are on your brand site or on some particular site. What do you want to learn from them? What do you want to offer them? What kind of information can you provide to them? And also just what can you do with the information afterwards? You know, if I know that Lisa turns up and she's been unsuccessful a bunch of times, but she's in the market for these particular products, I can recommend certain things to try and pull you back into the brand.
Yeah. And there's something about, having a limited amount of something that is bright and shiny to people. It
Yeah.
shows that not everyone's gonna have it. You're gonna be one of the 50,000, like you said, and creates that curiosity. And then the FOMO kicks in when you don't get it. And then you're like, now what? Right? That's a perfect opportunity for a brand to jump in and say, here's a solution.
Absolutely. And we see like Nike, people who are successful that can build a community around it too. Like if you know, if you're in that community and you see someone wearing that particular shoe, you know the pains that they went through to get it. Right. You
Yeah.
know something that that other
Yeah.
people don't. And I think that's also a huge factor. Like once you have that for your brand, it's incredibly powerful.
Yeah. So you've been in the trenches of some of the most high-stake launches in the industry. Tell us about some of those and what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, we were working on Arrival. We were working with the Kroenkes, who own SoFi Stadium, who own a bunch of venues that have large volumes. And we were looking at ticketing live events, football games, the kinds of things that sell at SoFi Stadium. So the Taylor Swifts of the world. And, I think it's interesting coming at the angle from the vendor's perspective and just trying to understand the kinds of things that people will do to try and circumvent or like even things like prospective selling, where people will start selling things on the secondary market even when they don't own the tickets. That was a surprise to me that people would do that, and there's like regulatory things that you can do to try and stop that happening. So there's kind of loopholes that people exploit when you have that huge incentive for people, when they can sell a ticket for 10x, 100x, the length that people go to try and get those things is extraordinary. So, learning, I think, from some of the things that other vendors have seen, things that have caused sites to fall over and crash in the past. I come from an engineering background too, and I've worked at Salesforce, Optimizely. So these are places that have scale issues, and these things are huge technical undertakings. And if you're a smallish brand that has a huge audience, it's usually just too much. It's beyond the scope of what you can wrap your arms around. So that's really, we're trying to help brands deal with these kind of events and use this kind of model more often.
What a good problem to have, being a small brand with a large following and then having
That's
to
right.
bring someone like you in to help them out.
Yeah, it's a good problem. I mean, we've definitely run into some brands that have, there's just a lot of negative sentiment that you can create when a drop goes badly. And like we want to minimize how many angry tweets a brand gets during those moments. We've certainly seen some really bad occurrences where like people almost, abandoned the model completely because it goes so badly. So that's for sure what we want to avoid.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. Reviews are huge. Reviews and what people say about a brand. As soon as I go looking for an item, I go look for reviews on that item. And if majority of them are negative, I'm not going to buy that item. So if a brand completely destroys a launch, they're bound to have mostly negative comments. One, people can be pretty brutal and they don't understand it, but the brand has created that hype and people are excited. So it's all kind of good publicity, but those negative reviews are gonna just crush them.
Yeah, and you're creating a moment that's going to make people more anxious. Like you're making it more likely that people are going to have a strong negative reaction if something goes badly. Like if there's no scarcity and you just show up at someone's website and it's down, it's no big deal, right? You come back in a few minutes, no big deal. If it falls down when it's launching, That's really bad. And that's what causes this pain. So, yeah, like people spend a lot of time and money and effort putting into the marketing around these events. And then the final sale is the thing that trips people up. So yeah, it's a good opportunity, but also just comes with some hazards that you need to avoid.
Yeah, my gosh, absolutely. That'd be devastating to have that all fall apart after all that work. So tell us then about fanfare. What is it? And where can we find it?
So fanfare is, like I say, this was something that came out of live events and just seeing at the start of COVID, just more and more of these scarce retail mishaps and issues around that and just feeling that consumer pain. So we started this a little while ago. We just got pre-seed funding almost a year ago, and we're working with some interesting brands on trying to alleviate some of these problems and trying to explore what we can do with this model. You can find us at fanfare.io. We do have some guidebooks and things going up live that we can provide to people just to get familiar with this model. And yeah, just come find us, check us out. We went through a rename just recently. I think we were talking about this before. And the idea with Fanfare is that we want to be dealing with the whole of this event, not just the actual final on sale, but the marketing, the announcements, and all of the stuff that happens around data collection, data use for these types of events. So if you have any issues with those kinds of products on sales, absolutely check us out.
Can you tell us a little bit about how it works?
Sure. So we are live in the Shopify App Store, and we also have a standalone product. We sit on your products page. So if you have, let's say you're selling the Switch 2, for example, we will sit, our product will embed on your products page, and then we manage people through that process. So when people show up, we can make sure that people can't see certain things at certain times. We'll collect people's information through that process. We'll move people around in line. We'll make sure that people get through the process. And then after the fact, we surface all of that information to the brands. So all of those people that showed up that weren't successful, you could then go in, you can create a subsequent product launch just for those people.
Beautiful. Is there anything else you'd like the audience to know about fanfare or yourself? You can tell us a little bit about yourself.
My favorite topic. I mean, I think, it's right that people are frustrated, whenever they go to some site and it's during a launch event and it falls over. It's the right reaction to be frustrated. It should be something that's solved. But it is a really, really hard technical problem to get your arms around. And I do see a lot of frustration for these things. I think help is on the way. But yeah, if you're a brand that's looking to use this or is struggling using this kind of model, just absolutely check us out.
There a specific moment that launched this in your brain? Did something specific happen? Where did the idea come from? Besides the chaos, because I know you come from a, what's your background again?
Yeah, it's an engineering background. So,
Right. So you have that kind of mental mindset of solving problems, perhaps.
yeah, and solving issues of scale. I think that's when you have like five people do a thing online, it's a really simple thing to manage. It's just, technically easy to get something spun up and deal with that. When you're dealing with like millions of people showing up all at once, so many things just start to creak in that moment and start to fall apart. And it's unusual things, it's things you don't think of. It's usually just there's some bottleneck in the system you've not thought of, and that will cause the whole service to fall over. And that's what I worked at Salesforce. So I worked on search at Salesforce, which is like the most commonly trafficked area of Salesforce. And you don't want to fall over in that moment when people are trying to find their things. And then through Rival, dealing with this kind of scale in a ticketing context was really the foundation for Fanfare for me, because, I think if things fall down at the Salesforce level, like people are going to complain and it's going to be bad. If people can't get their Taylor Swift tickets on that moment, Like, that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things we found at Rival was everyone came to us with that same feeling of why hasn't this been fixed yet? Like, why is it that everyone's going through this terrible, like, why is it expected? I had someone reach out to me after one failed launch, and he thought maybe these failed launches was a feature. Like, maybe these brands and these retailers were doing it on purpose just to try and build the FOMO around it. That's not true. Like, they
I
lost
actually have
sales for
thought that
sure.
as well. Yeah, I
Yeah.
have.
Yeah,
The
it's not true.
scarcity.
Like, yeah, it's just, you know, when they lose sales, like the Switch 2, for example, when you lose sales, people just go elsewhere. You know, if you can be the trusted retailer for these kind of events, it's a gold mine for you. But they just can't. They just technically, it's just painful. And I think it was the Venn diagram of interesting technical problem to do with scale, the consumer pain that we've all felt, and then my experience at Rival, having dealt with this, you know, especially around bad actors and bots, kind of came together to really launch Fanfare.
Would you be specific on the types of clients that you're looking to work with?
So right now we're looking for people who already run drops. That's usually streetwear, footwear brands. Often they have like an outsized audience issue. So they have an enormous following, a lot of fandom around the brand, and then these kinds of events just kind of fall flat. So that's the kind of brands we're looking at. But honestly, this model extends to collectibles, health and beauty. We've had a few food and bev brands reach out, so it's a very applicable thing. But yeah, people who are feeling the most pain are the kind of drop native brands.
So I've been in the network marketing world for a while, and I remember a new company started and they dropped a new flavor of this product, and that was what everyone was saying is that they broke the internet because everyone was trying to purchase it. So there was only 5,000 of them, and everyone started buying them, and it just completely shut down the website. Is that a common thing with new companies and new brands that are launching something for the first time?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's something we see frequently is just something takes off. You know, they hit on something that's really successful, or they have Sydney Sweeney you know, helping with some of the promotion, and
Right.
there's an expectation it may be large, but sometimes that huge spike is way beyond what they expect. So yeah, it's absolutely something that up and coming brands struggle with often.
So remind us where people can find you.
So people can find us at fanfare.io. That's fare.io. Me personally, please reach out. You can find me through LinkedIn. Just click that link, and happy to talk about this with anyone who'll listen.
Amazing. We're going to have those copied in our show notes for people as well. Anything you want to leave the audience with beside Sydney Sweeney's bath water as a thought? That's all I can think about right now.
Yeah, I'd definitely recommend people check out not just that particular launch, but launches that are similar to that. So it's something that we've been blogging about. Just these kind of events are incredibly successful for those brands that can do them properly. So we can definitely direct people through to those on Fanfare's blog. But yeah, just really seeing the power of this model. I think personally, just walking around and thinking about all the possible places people gather as opportunities to launch a product, to run a pop-up. You know, 60, 70,000 people in a sports event are a great way of launching some specific limited edition product. And this kind of model is really, it's coming into its own, I think, with social media and all of these platforms just helping boost those. So I definitely encourage people to look around at what these interesting brands are doing. Dr. Scorch is a great example. But yeah, it's a really interesting model.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for being here today and for talking about Fanfare and for spreading the news. Sounds like an
Thank you.
amazing product that can help a lot of brands.
We hope so. We hope so. And yeah, it's been nice to meet you, and thank you.
Yes, thank you. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in. You just heard from Michael Dodsworth, and his product Fanfare will be linked in our show notes for you guys to check out. I know I'm going to be checking out some weird things later on the internet. Until next time, my name is Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. Have a good weekend, everyone.